I think we're on.
Okay, great.
Welcome to Dithering on the Edge of Europe, the podcast about what it feels like to be European and living in the UK.
Yeah, hello.
I'm Carola Böhm.
And I'm Rich McCarthy.
Yes, and I did want us to apologize to our listeners as a first thing, because we have slipped into a two-weekly schedule rather than a weekly schedule.
We'd always been in a two-weekly schedule.
Yeah, okay. So it's not been as consistent as we would like.
We didn't really slip as to go to what we decided.
Yes. Yes, so we're producing these on the weekends, and sometimes our weekends are quite busy because...
Well, I just want to point out, because Carola feels bad because we went to pod up north last weekend.
And enjoyed ourselves.
Yeah, and had a great time. So now she thinks, oh, we ought to be doing it every week. And so that's why she's apologizing for slipping.
No, but there's another reason why it's getting quite busy.
Yeah, it's very busy because I'm standing as an MP for the Green Party. And in Congleton.
So there are quite a lot of weekend hustings going on and activities and putting up placards.
Yeah, there have been no weekend hustings. I haven't done a hustings yet. And I'm getting all frightened about my first hustings on Tuesday. So,
if you want to follow Richard's trials and tribulations as a candidate in the upcoming general election, follow him on his Twitter feed at...
RichGMcCarthy1.
But back to Dithering on the Edge of Europe. This is the second part of our little mini-series where we're going to look at apps, mobile apps.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to this because, once again, Carola is going to surprise me with the wonderful things, wonderful elements of apps from EU land.
Right, so last time we were looking at five or six little apps, including an app dedicated to the Charter, which today is celebrating its 10th anniversary.
Is that all right?
10th anniversary of the Charter becoming legally binding, which was, December 2009.
That's the Charter of Fundamental Rights. Yeah, and we'd like to keep them as well.
Yes, we would really like to keep them. We like them, especially the first sentence, I have to say. We had it recited several times in the past, even with underlying music. But
and
last time...
Look at the app and you'll see what the sentence is.
Exactly. Or listen to our podcast and then download the app. And today, the first one is a game. You're up for a little game?
Oh, we're starting with the fun stuff. Okay.
Yes. It's called Taxlandia.
Okay.
And it's by European Union Apps.
Taxlandia. That's the whole problem with the EU. Too much tax. Apparently.
So I think that is...
That's completely untrue. That's not a problem. We have a problem in this country that we think we can get away with paying 20% tax and still have a health service and police and traffic wardens and all the rest of it.
Yes, and of course, that's what both manifestos... are actually demonstrating that, suddenly the Conservatives have found the money tree and this is suggesting that the Labour is also promising too much. But, we're not going to go into that. We're going to go into Taxlandia. So this is a little app and you can hear it. We can choose.
Okay, well, should we go for the closest age group to us, which is 18 to 25? Hey, doesn't that feel great? Oh, I feel half my age suddenly.
And here is the story. Hello, do you want to read the story?
Okay, if I can from here. With my 52-year-old eyes. It's okay, hang on. Let me take off my glasses, that might help. Hello, you are now in Taxlandia, a tiny European state with gorgeous mountains, peaked with snow all year long, and clear blue lakes. Taxlandia has been known as a popular touristic destination. The former governments chose to implement a minimal taxation level, 10%, since the local economy was booming and revenues were more than enough for the local necessities. Low taxes encouraged many companies to set headquarters in the country. High public revenues allowed for high salaries and investment in the public sector, which in turn led to state-of-the-art public services.
Yadi-yadi-dad goes on and on.
During the last decade, Yep. Well, during the last decade, very quickly, the global economic context changed. Major competition from other countries affected Taxlandia's development rhythm. Many companies kept the headquarters in the country for taxation reasons, but moved the production elsewhere. Does it sound like anywhere that we know?
Yes.
The country hasn't been able to take advantage of the global commercial boom since the infrastructure was outdated. With no modern rail facilities or all sorts of other things, it's in the lurch now. I say that because Carole hasn't moved the details up on the phone.
Sorry. No. But anyway, what do we want of this game? We would wish actually that it has a bit of a carbon footprint calculation in there.
Well, yeah, ideally. But, I mean, it's a struggle for everybody, the carbon footprint. So if you're making a game as well.
Do you know, I recently calculated my carbon footprint.
Mm-hmm.
And I was only 72% of the target, the 2030 target.
Is that despite your flight to Finland?
Yeah, I put one flight in. So.
Oh, you put one flight in. You didn't have the flight when you came back to London to do a
but
tour.
I had
so that's
put
two
in,
flights to Finland
in the
and back.
In the average, how many flights do
so you
went
missed
to?
Out a flight.
Okay. Okay, going on.
Sorry, you feel all guilty now. Yes. I can see her going bright red.
We had this whole thing about flight shame, if you remember. Yes, yep. Exactly. But I was actually quite surprised that if you fly in the average only once, that then you're below average. And, you know, we know that we live quite...
It's very strange because in Britain, 52% of the country do not fly, ever.
Wow.
So 52% don't fly. And apparently there are 270 million flights taken by the British. So, and there's only 67 million people.
Well, and of course, you've probably heard it. One of the parties was talking about the frequent flyers, you know, this notion that we can tax the frequent flyers and that will make a big difference. So it's, again, a smaller proportion of the population is taking up most of the flights.
Well, yeah, several of the parties are now saying that we did say that first.
Right, okay. So here, back to the game. So you see down here, there's population. Oh, there, sorry. And there are sort of different kinds of criteria. Happiness. What is this? This is employment. This is pollution. So it has something environmental in there. And this is criminality. And all of these things you have to keep all the same. And then there is statistics.
Well, you have to try to improve them. If you just do nothing, it gets worse and worse, I think.
Exactly. And under statistics, for instance, there's all your actions as a prime minister have consequences for your people. So then we can...
So it's a little bit like The Sims, but...
Well, it's a civilization game, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you can specify what tax you want to raise. So I'm going to raise a bit of tax. I don't know how much is much. So I'm going to do 17.62%. And then you see this landscape. And let's see if I can find some civilization. Oops.
I think now we have to look at doing things like building schools and sewage works and things like that.
So here you see... A bank, of course. I'm going to upgrade a bank. I'm going to pay 2 million euros to upgrade a bank. That stimulates growth.
Right, okay.
Or shall I cancel?
Cancel.
Okay.
Banks have done all right, I think.
I will spend 900,000 euros to upgrade a block of flats with a red roof.
Okay, cool.
And you can see... In a minute. Ooh, now it's the cranes come up and it's a lovely little simulation and it's building.
That is a slight problem with the game, I think. Much like, Final Fantasy, where they have, you say, oh yes, I'm going to attack this thing, and then they have a whole several minutes of attacking. This is quicker than that, but.
Oh, I need a theatre.
Yeah, theatre's good.
Okay, 2 million.
Okay.
You don't have enough funds.
Ah,
I can't build a theatre.
We haven't taxed enough.
Yes. What is this? Wind turbine. Oh, we do need...
Oh, maximum level achieved.
Okay.
Does that mean... Oh, it can't be upgraded.
Yes, I've played it a bit. So you can upgrade certain things. Gas station. You can upgrade fire brigades. Oh, I'm upgrading
Which
fire brigades.
Which
Carl
is just doing now.
And again, the cranes come.
So we can hear
the
building going on.
You
it's a very quiet building.
Did you hear the flights?
No, I thought that was to do with the...
No, there seem to be flights because there's an airport in here.
All right, okay.
There was nobody protesting against the airport. Do you hear it?
Yeah, and that's why there are so many planes flying over.
Yes, exactly. And I can then actually go to the next year, to 2020.
And oh my God. She survived a year. Oh, but there's a water dam alert. The forecasts indicate that global warming led to the formation of strange weather fronts in the south town. The National Weather Institute reports that heavy rainfall will be a lot more frequent. What to do? So the green person, the green face, is saying the investment can prove to be a bit... The investment can prove to be a hit. New opportunities for tourism will appear in the area. New investors will come and tax revenue will increase. More jobs will be available. The red face says your reserve funds will also be exhausted. You could introduce a new environmental tax, go to statistics and increase tax level. But happiness will fall. You're in danger to be fired as prime minister.
Oh dear, but I am going to invest 600,000 euros.
Okay, go for it.
Oh, look at the dam is coming up.
Oh.
Nice time. Yeah. So,
and we can hear the weather in the background.
Yes, you get a sense. And I think I've played this a bit just to get a feel for it. And you can see that some parts of the city are now underwater.
Oh, yeah. It's flooding.
And there, of
and
course,
there's clouds all over the place.
Yes, I know. There are other parts of the city as well. So some of them are more prone to flood. Oh, there's the plane.
Yep.
Oh, look at that. But this section of the city is not as prone to flooding. So, of course, you can go from year to year, and then you have to just keep, you know, your happiness factor, your employment, your pollution, and your crime rate reasonably stable.
So it's a kind of a nice introduction to politics for...
It is.
Well, for lots of people who've never thought about politics before, I suppose.
Yeah.
Kids, perhaps.
So this is Taxlandia, just for those who want to actually have a go at that from the European Union apps. And it gives us a good, you know, gives anybody a nice introduction to balancing, I guess, society or the economy. Right. The next app is Innovation Radar.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good.
We're getting more serious here. And I mean, Innovation Radar is also by European Union apps. And as far as I can tell, it's an attempt to allow citizens, European citizens, to discover EU-funded innovation projects. I mean, there is a bit of a caveat. I don't know. There are improvements that could be still implemented. It's not quite working as well as it probably should, but you can go into it and you see the map of Europe, and you see that in Europe there are something like 1,400 projects, innovation projects, and you can go, for instance, in... Let's say we're going to go to Sheffield. We can see there is, for instance, an innovation project, which is called Know-How Toolkit, a web portal helping individuals sustain behavior change and maintain weight loss. And so you can go into these projects. You can look who the partners are. Mm-hmm. So there's University of Lisbon. There's a Miles Bremmel Executive Services from the UK. And there is a Higher Education Institute Research Center from, is that Finland? You know the flags.
No, I don't, unfortunately. I haven't played that game for a long time.
Oh, no, it is Greece. Sorry. No. But so you can look at all the innovation projects. You could also search for terms.
Do you want to try some kind of an energy thing, like wind power? Maybe they don't bother because there's so much going on for wind power anyway.
Possibly. Yeah, okay. So we have a high volume fusion and analysis platform for geospatial point clouds coverages and volumetric data sets. So you can see, you know, there are very specific projects. Again, I would actually say it's actually surprising that there are not more projects listed here, just knowing how many EU projects they are. But so I don't know if they just focus on SME projects and not research framework project. Yeah, I was just looking at the About. The Innovation Radar is a European Commission initiative to identify high potential innovations and innovators in EU-funded research and innovation projects. So it should be actually all. Yeah. But when I look at the frequently asked questions, what is Innovation Radar? It's a data-driven methodology and tool that aims to look at into the innovation aspects within EU-funded research. You can see the market maturity, so exploration. So there are different levels of market maturity. It has which innovation topic it is, the date of analysis, and go-to-market needs, what are the specified market needs in relation to this technology. And then, of course, you can look at the project, what is the project called, who's the lead in the project, and then the institutions who are involved in that project.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good.
So great if you're looking at groundbreaking technology, basically.
Yeah, and then I think about it, for what could it be useful for, you know? Possibly if there's a company which is looking for a partner, a knowledge-based partner who's done these kind of projects before, you know, then you can search for certain things on a European level. You know, so for partnerships, it might be good. Also for universities wanting to do the next project, I think it could be made more useful. But, you know, it's in development like many.
Yeah, seems pretty good.
Yeah. So that's Innovation Radar by European Union Apps.
Okay, it's all quiet. There were no nice sound effects with that. After all that Techlandia stuff.
No,
I don't.
So the next one is slightly more fun again.
TV of Europe.
That's it. So this is a sort of aggregator app which is trying to pull together all channels available of any kind of TV stations in Europe. And so you can also shortlist some TV stations. So in the normal window, when I just opened it, you can see Sky News, BBC Persian, BBC Arabic, Bloomberg, da, 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 da. And for instance, I've shortlisted some, so you can go into some of these. So for instance, there is Euronews English. And when you go into it, you realize it actually pulls down from their website, probably. It's probably all web-based.
Mm-hmm.
But so you can, for those who offer freely available TV services.
To them, and they show that I am committing to this so that it gets done, so that when my child or I get wed, you're supposed to commit the same, and they expect that.
Title of this is The Cost of Love.
Yeah, so this is the Deutsche Welle, so the sort of German BBC World Service as such.
Right.
We can also go to German News Tagesschau, which is German news service, 24 news service.
Denn ohne Salz würden wir nicht überleben. Elementar ist Salz auch in der Küche, findet Sterneköchin Sonja Frühstück.
You can see they're talking about salt in the kitchen.
Right.
Very important. But so you can see that, it's a good way of not being bound by simply your country's news services. So you can look at what kind of news services they are. There's 24 France TV. So I think it's great. I assume you could do all that through YouTube or live streaming and websites, you know, going to the different websites. But here it's trying to put it all into one app at your fingertips are, you know, probably most of the key news channels within the European region.
Yeah. So it's like the equivalent of BBC Sounds in a way.
But BBC is only BBC.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, BBC Sounds, but for the whole of Europe.
Yeah, exactly.
And video rather than sound.
Yeah, so it's not like BBC.
No, it's like it because it's having it sort of, it's an umbrella for a lot of stuff. My point is it's the same type of thing scaled up.
Now moving on to the next app, which is US Jobs, Jobs in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And this is by the European Employment Service. That seems to be an organization, European Employment Service. But here you can search for jobs in Europe.
Right. Okay.
What kind of job do you want to search for? Environmental systems, maybe?
Okay.
Okay. How about in Finland?
Yeah. Finland sounds a nice place from what you've said.
Technical Account Manager, Environmental Technologies. And there's a lot of Finnish stuff. So, Nayless.
Which we can't understand.
Yes, exactly. The beginning too, but we're not quite as good. Let's search in Germany. We might be able to understand that. Oh, wow, look at that. All, wow, what a difference. Look at that. 243 Umweltgeologe. So environmental.
Well, population is 18 times as big as
Project
Finland's.
Project manager in environmental systems, emissions expert, all sorts of things you can put in the date range. So it's just like a job search.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is quite nice.
Yeah. Are there, how about fruit picking or something like that?
Oh, right. Okay. Let's see.
You know, something that I could do without some big highfalutin education.
Tree and shrub crop grower, supply distribution related managers, gardeners, buyers, bank tellers, freight handlers, pet groomers.
Freight? That's freight handlers. Do you want me to handle your freight? Boo!
Stall market salesperson. So I think the answer is probably not for those kinds of jobs. This is more.
Well,
sort of,
it sounded like, you know, things like freight handlers, that would be a job that you don't need a huge amount of education for.
Oh, right. Okay.
So
buyers.
The big thing is, I presume that you'd need to be able to talk to people in their own language. Which
there is a button which says upcoming events, and I don't know what that means. So
it's maybe like job
fairs.
Job fairs, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to just say upcoming events in the United Kingdom, and there are no upcoming
well,
events
there won't
in
be,
the United
there?
Kingdom. Why not? Because we don't have any jobs.
No, because our government doesn't really want to attract people from other countries.
Yeah.
Certainly European countries, apparently.
So maybe all, say all countries, let's just say all countries. So these are events. So there's Euros, Nordic, Baltic, Job Day in Spain, or recruitment
Job
event.
Day.
Oh, here you go. Recruitment event for agricultural sector in Denmark.
Hmm. Okay.
We'll interview Romanian job seekers, unemployed, interested to work in agricultural sector in Denmark and in Portugal for the same employer. The event start with a presentation of living and working conditions to the employer's farm. The venue will be communicated only to pre-selected candidates invited to interview. So you do get those, you know, so it's actually quite nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can favorite these jobs as well.
So basically it's a good thing if you're planning to go abroad to work. So I wonder if they have sort of temporary jobs for people who maybe want to do a year out between school and going to uni or college or something like that.
Well, you can specify contract type, temporary or permanent. You can specify the region, and then of course this you know, sort of keyword, so you should be able to put something in there that kind of matches. Right. Okay, so that was your job in Europe.
Okay, sounds good.
Which is quite cute, isn't it?
Yeah.
Then the next one is EU advocacy. And the EU advocacy, I think, is actually a really good idea. So it's an app which was, from what I can see, was created to allow pressure groups or campaign groups to have better information about how to access the European Parliament or European officials. So you can see that there's an event page. So it suggests, so for instance, in events in December 2019, there's an EU masterclass of influencing EU decision making.
Right. Okay.
Then
presumably this is in a good way, not by trying to give people backhanders or anything like that.
You can also go into a parliamentary directory, and within the parliamentary directory, you can search by name or by country or by political group. So let's say you have a sort of environmental issue, you can look at group of all Greens and Europeans, and here are all the MEPs. So I think that's right. Very useful.
So there are people you might want to email about
exactly,
something or other.
Yeah. So for instance, here's Molly Scott-Cato, and if you go into that, it has her website, it has her address, it has her Twitter account, it has her phone numbers. So you can officially get in contact with your representative.
Okay, that's good.
Which I think is really lovely. So that's the sort of parliamentary directory, which I think is almost the most useful of this app. There's also a section social sharing. So you can look up some news and you can share it on Twitter, of course. And then it has, I don't know what it has in videos. Videos, European Commission Explained, Digital Europe, British Prime Minister Theresa May, Florence speech. It's a bit outdated, isn't it? Macron's Brexit speech. So it has some videos. So it's, you know, the updating doesn't seem to quite work like that. But under the more section, there's again how the European Union works, the European Council and Council rotating presidents.
I presume it was updated until it sort of ran out of funding or something like that. Maybe it
or between the old commission and the new commission. You know, there's always a gap.
Yeah.
You know, it could be that now it's going to be updated again, because today is, of course, not only do we today have 10-year anniversary of the charter coming into effect, but actually today is when the new commission officially starts working as
well. Right, yes, of course.
So this is how a European Union works. So they are sort
except
of guidance.
Except they probably will start tomorrow. Because it's Sunday today.
Yes, exactly.
That's all right.
But, you know, this is under the section how the European Union works. So there's all sort of documentation of how the European Union works.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a little app that started off as trying to make it easier for pressure campaigns to be more effective, or advocacy campaigns to be more effective. And then
is great for the, you know,
for the benefit of all
general people.
Exactly. Right.
We want to get that point across to MEPs, etc.
And so I'm now on to the last app.
Okay.
Already.
Yep.
And the last app is called the EU Relocation Program.
Right. Okay.
And again, by European Union apps. And I have a feeling, because of course, you know, as we know, the relocation program for
refugees
is a really tricky issue for the European Union. And as far as I can make out, you know, there's also always the difficulty of not only taking the parliament along with the solution, but then to convey and persuade the council to move with that solution. And because it's such a tricky issue, I think the European Union has not been able to resolve it, as we discussed when we looked at Ursula von der Leyen's guidelines or even the charter itself. You know, there's always these tricky issues. And I think this app was supposed to be one of the contributing solutions that you can actually do that digitally. So, you know, it has a section, what is relocation? And it suggests the definitions of relocation. Also, and you can see here, it has only a section, the Greece, what is relocation, and Italy, what is relocation, probably because those countries are at the moment the ones which have the largest amount
of refugees
coming in. And within these sections, it actually suggests the process. So, for instance, one, you must submit an application for international protection. Two, you must present all documents you have that verify your identity. So it has very, very straightforward guidance. And they might differ depending on your first entry being in Greece or your first entry being in Italy. And that's why it has these two sections here. And it has the addresses of all asylum offices. And then it has also various relocation countries. But I have to say, these relocation country destinations lead to simply Wikipedia entries of these countries. And it's again aggregating that information.
Right. Okay.
So it's a, you know, I would say it's quite at an early stage of what this could be. So there's also an FAQ.
So you can imagine this might have been put together by a refugee.
No, I think it's an attempt by the European Union. They probably either commissioned it or put out a call. Because I think the solutions in the future might be digital, you know, in terms of that a new person comes in and then there's an automatic relocation service and it gives you exactly how do you get there, where do you have to report to, you know, where do you have to move to, and it gives you all contact points and the support services in relation to that. Because I think at the moment it's quite confusing. So I've just looked at the FAQ. So within the FAQ, you know, what is relocation? Does it apply to me? Why will I be fingerprinted? I have special needs. Will I be given priority? So it has all these FAQs. There's videos, there's more info, contacts, and legal notice. And then there's a sort of settings, and you can see that it's also multilingual as well.
Brings it home, all the things that you have to do to be a refugee. You know, if you're a refugee, it's
confusing.
Your whole life is taken over by struggling to get into a new country,
which
is awful. I mean, you're in a huge state and you've suffered horrible trauma and so on in the first place.
And the simple things of how you prove your identity if you come from an area where you have fled.
Yeah.
And you don't have a passport, maybe. You don't have...
Yeah, if you didn't have a passport before all hell broke loose in the country in which you live, what are you going
to
do?
So I think, you know, that helps to a certain extent. I think it's by far not sufficient to resolve some of the issues. But I think that just needs at the moment quite a lot of political will and political maneuvering within the European Union to understand how collectively in the European Union they handle refugees.
Yeah.
So again, you know, this is not useful for anybody who's not a refugee. But, you know, for me, it was actually quite interesting to discover that there's some work being done in relation to mobile apps that might help individual refugees to have the contacts, you know, in one place.
It might, yes. Maybe it helps people working with refugees.
Yeah, exactly. So those were the apps.
Great. Great. Okay. So we finished on the worst one, effectively. The most downbeat one.
But yes, the most challenging one, isn't it? It's, shall we leave it at that?
Yes, okay then. Well, somberly,
I should have actually stopped. No, I don't have any apps. Tuxlandia. You know, Tuxlandia was the joyful one.
Maybe we should have put that at the end.
Right, okay. I don't know if Tuxlandia is the joyful one, you know.
Well, it's more fun. It has music playing as well. So,
but you know, in this country, we've been, we've been programmed to think the raising of taxes is so bad. And even in this election, you know, there's such a fight over, no, we're not going to raise taxes for everyone. And you kind of think, you know, as coming from Germany, where taxes are actually so much higher, I think we should celebrate.
But we know the glory times of our system of
financial system,
capitalism. The glory days of capitalism were the 50s and the 60s, where we had very high taxes of 70%.
There you go.
70-80% in some places.
So maybe we should end it with the lovely music of Tuxlandia.
Yes. Come to Britain, enjoy a wonderful lifestyle as long as you're prepared to pay decent amounts of tax.
Which everyone should.
Yes. And then you can get a bus from here to there. You can have a city where people are happy. You can have an educated population. You can have people being polite, opening doors for each other, smiling at each other. But you can't have that if you're going to pay no tax.
Right.
If you're not going to pay any tax, shove off. Go somewhere else.
And on that, if you enjoyed the show, please do leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, because it really helps others to find us.
Yes. I'm supposed to say goodbye for now and have a fabulous week. Oh, feel free to follow us on Twitter on Dithering on the Edge at Dithering E.
And as we mentioned, if you want to follow Richard's endeavor as a candidate, follow him on Twitter on at Rich
McCarthy
1,
I think.
Goodbye for now.
Or it'll be Rich G McCarthy 1, but I think it's Rich McCarthy 1.
Goodbye for now and have a fabulous week.
Bye.